This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At the stadium, Vinny schmoozes in luxury suites.
From the left, dear, one serves from the left.
Whatever's gotten into you, Calpurnia?
Haney posts up in the bleachers.
You're all garbage! All of you!
The only place to catch Vinny and Haney together is on 105.7 The Fan.
Here's Rice. Bounce pass goes to Queen. He'll go to the rim, off the glass, and scores. Nice give from Rodney Rice to set that thing up. Rice at the top of the key. Queen with a screen. Rice shoots over the Queen screen and got it. Rebound by Rodney Rice in the backcourt, and the Terrapins have come to Ann Arbor, and they won a game for the first time since 2017. 71-65, that's the final.
There was so much talk earlier in the year. We lost a close one to Purdue. We lost two tough ones out west. Lost a buzzer beater. More than anything, I'm just so proud of that group of guys because it could have been easy to let all that negativity, let all that talk, you know, deter them. And I think they showed the grit from the Michigan State half-court shot to go on the road at Penn State and win a tough game, and now come here and win a tough game.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan on this Total Request Thursday. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. You heard the audio coming in courtesy of the Terrapin Radio Network right here on 105.7 The Fan. Terps, 71-65 victory over Michigan in Ann Arbor last night. And this was another one of those games where it seemed like the Terps just would not allow their opposing team to come fully back. I mean, Michigan had cut this to a two-point deficit with 9 minutes to go, and Coach Kevin Willard uses his second-to-last timeout with 10 minutes left in the game, and I'm like, oh, what's happening here? It just looks like it's starting to fall apart. Sure enough, a bucket here from Rodney Rice, a bucket here from Derek Queen, a bucket there from Selton McGale was just enough to hold Michigan off to secure the 6-point victory.
And don't forget about all the Michigan turnovers.
How can Jesus. How can you?
It was like, what'd they say on TV? Like 4 different sets of 3 in a row turnovers? They'd come down some of those times and it was like they were passing to the Terp dudes. That's the way it looked.
16 turnovers last night for Michigan, doubling up the Terps in the turnover department. And like you said, some of them are just bad, lazy passes that get picked off in the lane. Some of them are due to effort. Selton McGale had one where the guy tries to throw it over his head and he just jumps to the roof to tip the ball and tips it to himself and starts a fast break. I loved the energy from Selton McGale last night. He finished with 17.7 for 13 from the field. He, Rodney Rice, and Derek Queen were definitely the leaders offensively, but a lot of praise to go around. I thought Juju was great defensively, 3 steals, 2 blocks. I love the energy that Jordan Geronimo played with off the bench last night. He may have had the highlight of the game with that dunk that he had, but you got some of that energy off the bench that I think people were looking for. Maybe not scoring production, but definitely energy.
Yeah, they and Nolan, you can talk about it. You watched it too, but I mean, I give Haney credit because yesterday, Nolan, he said Maryland or Michigan. One thing they do, they turn the ball over, and my God, they did.
Well, I didn't think it would be that bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
And there were moments in the second half where I'm watching this team, and especially their big man Wolf, and he was mm-hmm. getting anything he wanted, mm-hmm. and at a certain point just got dialed in, and it was an automatic basket. And I'm like, how is this team? You know, only 17th. What are they missing? What's the true problem? And then sure enough, I mean, it was just turnover, turnover, turnover. And I thought the Terps could have taken even more advantage of that. They had some empty possessions off turnovers because I think they thought in the back of their head, well, these are going to keep coming. We might as well just let it fly. But Cordell, you mentioned Selton. That was the big takeaway of the game for me. He was the player of the game. And, you know, 17 points speaks for itself. But early on, when nobody was really doing anything offensively, he was grinding out some baskets. The effort level was off the charts, diving for loose balls, grabbing steals, overall great defense. That might have been the best Selton Miguel game since he's come to Maryland. And to me, he was the biggest difference maker.
There have been people at times, and sometimes it's necessary because he will make some head-scratching plays at times, but you need people like Selton Miguel on your team. You need somebody that has that type of confidence in their game and plays with that type of energy. There were times last night where it's just him playing 1-on-5 and making something happen, putting pressure on the defense, whether that's him pushing the ball or getting the ball in the middle of the paint and forcing the defense to collapse. But I loved what Miguel gave them, and Rodney Rice just seemed to be that calming presence for them. While Miguel seems to have like the energy of Sonic, Rodney Rice has like this mellowness about him that, oh, they cut the lead to 4. All right, you know, here goes a nice little pull up midi. Here goes a nice corner 3. He just seems very, very composed and ready to kind of be that stopgap offensive player for them to, all right, here's that bucket to stop that 7-0 run that we just went up against.
There was no panic. I didn't think, you know, when it got close, there was no panic. They didn't run around and stuff. Nolan, the one when I think you were talking, it was in the first half because, you know, because I was trying to watch the Caps game too, and I said, all right, you know, because it was like 30, the Terps were up like 10, and then they got the 3 turnovers in a row, and they missed the 3 threes. Because if they made those, then it's like game, set, match, because they're going to be up almost 20. But then they kind of kept them in. Even the announcer said, you know, that was a chance for the Terps to really to pull away.
Right, and all in all, I mean, great win. No doubt about it, to win that caliber of a game on the road, especially when you look at earlier this season, they just couldn't win on the road at all. Good teams or bad teams. It was like they were cursed. And now they've been fantastic on the road against really good teams. But early on, I won't lie to you, there were some thoughts creeping into my head about, oh man, this team peaked a little bit too early. Mm-hmm. Not trying to get too far removed from reality here, but they were terrible offensively to start the game. Like 7 points in 7 minutes. That's just dreadful. Kevin Willard was even joking about it during the Cats interview during the one timeout. But at that point, you know, they played poorly offensively against Michigan State. Pretty poorly offensively against Penn State, especially early on. It took them a while to get going. And then the first 10 minutes here, same type of thing. And I'm thinking, oh man, like this, they can't let up for any second. Because as much as I love the starting five and the bench stuff doesn't really faze me or bother me, if you're not going to start fast, that's a whole different conversation. That's a whole different issue.
No, I mean, to that point, there was a lot of good last night. There was definitely some bad in there. I mean, there was a point in the middle of the game I almost tweeted, like, are the Terps just refusing to get back on defense? There were a couple of possessions where it felt like they were walking back in transition defense. And Michigan made them pay for it a couple of times. I'm like, I don't know if they're tired or what, but guys are not running back on defense. That's got to change. And it did seem like outside of Miguel, there was a portion of the game where it seemed like 4 of the 5 guys weren't playing with any type of energy. I was starting to wonder, are they tired? I mean, is not a lot happening offensively right now. They're not getting back on defense. And Willard is blowing through his timeouts to either give him a rest or to stop runs. So there was a time where I was concerned about them last night. But again, we've talked about this a couple of times, especially with some of these most recent games. It seems like every time it starts to slip through their fingers, they find the ability to kind of grab the rope and rein it in.
Who was the one that, I think it was Gillespie made the three, and then he's like, you know,
his ear,
yeah, and then they throw the bomb down there, and then they get two right away. It's like, quit celebrating, man, get your ass back.
He was shushing the crowd.
Yeah.
And by the way, that was after his first three of the night.
Right, not a great shooting night from him.
One for six or one for seven. It's like, all right, man, come on.
Yeah, not a great shooting night for Gillespie. I mean, and I'm starting to get, I'm not overly concerned because the issue I have is this. We know that their production comes from the starting five. What happens when you're not getting that, you know, four double-digit scores out of your starting five in the tournament and stuff? Those are the types of things that I just can't get out of my mind. It's been a struggle here for Gillespie here recently. Rice has had some struggling games. He did bounce back in a big way yesterday, but that is something that's I think probably is going to stay in the back of my mind until the end of the season, just because I don't know how sustainable this is in the long run. It's great right now, and they have shown that they can win this way right now. They're a really good team, and their starting five is elite. I'll give them that. But the overall depth of it all, I do think that will show its ugly head at some point.
I thought the announcers were making some good points, you know, about the Terps, because like in the tournament they said, you know, each game is refereed differently, so you don't know what you're going to get. So if it's ticky-tack fouls, you know, then the Terps could be in trouble. But they said, you know, for your starting five, that there's so many TV timeouts during the tournament that you're not going to have a problem with rest. It just could be the ticky-tack fouls.
Right, and from a matchup standpoint, you know, we don't know what seed the Terps are going to get, but certainly seems no worse than a five right now. That's where they were at before last night's game, so they should only go up. But first-round matchup, maybe second-round matchup, you know, the team you're going to encounter, Maryland might have a clear size advantage over them, you know, just on paper. And if that's the case, then I wouldn't be worried about fouls at all. I mean, Maryland should be assertive in that situation. They should make the other team play to their level. But if they encounter an SEC team or run into another Big Ten team and, you know, you get another tough big man battle, could be a different story. But all I would say is they're 19 games into the conference schedule and the lack of a bench hasn't hurt them yet. So that's all I know. Could it hurt them in the long run? Remains to be seen, but it hasn't hurt him yet.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, a lot going on in the sports world. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. A lot of wide receivers seem to be available, whether it's being cut or available for trade. Could we see the Ravens make a move at the wide receiver position before the draft? We'll talk about that next here.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan.
Vinny and Haney. Vinny and Haney. On your home for sports. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan on this Total Request Thursday. Sending your favorite songs to the text line. Nolan Hill handle it from there. Also sending your votes for Featured Artist Friday. We'll announce that winner on the back end of today's show. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. 410-583-1057 is the number. If you want to get in, talk Terps, talk Ravens, or talk Orioles, or in anything for that matter, a lot going on in the sports world these days, especially in the NFL. And Vinny, yesterday we saw a lot of different guys, whether it's them being cut or announcing trade requests, but we're seeing a lot of different players become available, but specifically at the wide receiver position, because that could be viewed as a potential need for the Ravens. I think Nelson Aguilar is probably gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know that they drafted Walker out of North Carolina last year.
Yep,
we don't know what that's going to look like next season. We know Zay is there. We know Bateman's there building on a big time season, but I think they could use another weapon. Would you go after a couple of these veterans? I'll list some of them off. Let's start with Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk is on the open market.
Always hurt.
Certified slot receiver, but like you said, he's coming off an injury-riddled season.
Yeah, and I think where the Ravens are right now, I think they bring Tylan Wallace back, you know, because he's a good teamer too. And the dude, whenever he gets in there, he makes a play. Mm-hmm. You know, like which game was it where he had four catches for over 100 yards? Was that Cincinnati, I think?
It was one of those games.
Yeah, but he had, and I think he's a good teammate and all. But with the Ravens and free agency, Cordell, they like to wait until the comps picks don't count against them. That's when because these receivers that are on the market, I'm guessing most of them will stay on the market unless they're the elite guy, just because people are going to look at the draft, and then they're going to wait. And I think after June 1, I think there'll still be a lot of receivers available.
So what you think about Chris Godwin?
Oh, I love Godwin, but I don't think the Ravens have that kind of money. You know, I mean, they're projecting Godwin get $25 million a year. And you can't you go pay Godwin $25 million, and then what are you going to have to pay Zay? Mm-hmm. You know, and then – I mean, you got a lot of dudes that are standing in line right now, Cordell, with Hamilton and Travis Jones and Lindenball. You know, so you got a lot of dudes that likely that are going to be up.
So let's look at a veteran, cheaper option.
Yes.
Like,
right. What does
Tyler
Eric
Lockett
always say? Right player, right price.
So what about Tyler Lockett?
Yeah, somebody that wants. Here's what they need. They need a guy that wants to come win a Super Bowl, play with Lamar. And it's not about the money. So a Lockett could be that type of guy. I mean, when I was in San Fran the year we won the Super Bowl, Cordell, we had 16 dudes on one-year deals that were all the vet minimum. I mean, and this was Richard Dent, Ricky Jacks, all these types, you know, like star-type guys that just want to win. And I think the Ravens have that type of advantage because of Lamar and because of the type of team that they have and the expectations for them. I could see where a veteran guy would be like, yeah, pick me, man. I don't need the money. I want to go win.
Yeah, Lockett somewhat intrigues me. No doubt he's coming off one of his worst seasons. But A, he's dependable. He's healthy. I don't know if Tyler Lockett has missed a game in his career. I think in 2016 he played 15 games. So I'd have to go back and see if that one game that he missed was due to injury. But that is the only game that Tyler Lockett has not started or played in his career. That speaks a lot to me. The production, sure. The production has dropped off. He only had 600 yards receiving this year with two touchdowns. And some of that is due to, I mean, I know people like Geno. Geno is not there every week. You don't know what Geno Smith you're going to get. Sometimes you'll get the Geno Smith that can throw for 300 plus yards. And then next week you might get the Geno Smith that's throwing three interceptions, throwing for 160. But also, Jackson Smith and Jigba has taken over that wide receiver room out there. DK Metcalf, before Jackson Smith and Jigba got there, took over. So I've always liked Lockett because he's one of those dependable guys. I don't think he'll break the bank. I also don't think he's the difference between you going to the Super Bowl or you not going to the Super Bowl. But he is a quarterback-friendly guy that has made a living off making plays vertically down the field.
Well, you know what, Cordell? You know who kind of did that for them a couple years when he was healthy was Odell Beckham. Because Odell, you know, I mean, say what you want, but on third down, he made some big, big plays for them, you know, when he was healthy. And he was good in, you know, good in the locker room and all those things, too. So, to me, that's the type of veteran guy that you need, is a real good locker room guy and a guy that will understand his role, not like Deontay Johnson, who's bitching and complaining about. Because, let's face it, Bateman and Flowers are going to start. You're going to be the third guy. Can you live with that?
Let's go to a couple of these guys that you would have to acquire via trade. Let's start
that
with Cooper Kupp. You're not.
No, they're going to cut him. I ain't trading for him because then you got to pay him his $17 million. Mm-hmm. So, no. No way. And would I like Cooper Kupp? Yeah, I think Cooper Kupp would be. Why? Because he catches the ball and he's smart.
Very quarterback friendly.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, for Lamar, I think that'd be great for Lamar because he would be more dependable than Aguilar was. But would he come for $5 million? I don't know.
What about DK Metcalf?
Well, they got to trade for him, and they want big compensation.
Well,
for
him. Well, they're not getting that.
And you got to give him a new contract. No. If I'm Eric, they're not even calling me Seattle.
So no Metcalf, no Kupp. So are you're...
I could take Kupp if I got him. I keep going back to Eric. Mm-hmm. Right player, right price.
Right.
You know, when they cut him, and if he wants to come play with Lamar for a reasonable salary, and I can fit him in, yeah. And it'll probably, you know what, and I would think Lamar would do it too, because they'd probably have to go to Lamar to get some cap space.
And that's the thing here. We're seeing a lot of teams kind of do a lot of that stuff now. Some of that administrative work with the cap, some cap casualties. People are still restructuring deals and stuff. We haven't necessarily.
Charger just right. Bosa go. Yeah, and they picked up, what, $25 million there? Yeah, I mean, Dallas, same thing. They restructured a bunch of guys because they need the caps. Cordell, really, when you look at it, it's not a good year for free agents. It's not a good year. Plus, they got to sign Ronnie. That's going to be their big ticket. I mean, on CBS Sports, they had what probably would it take to get him? 4 years. What'd I say? Like 4 years, $90 million, something like that. Mm-hmm. With average $22.5 million per. And I think the Ravens realize that that's probably what it's going to take. And Tyler Decker, I was telling you, Tyler Decker from the Lions is a great comp because same age, and they did him a 3-year extension, left tackle last year, and it was $20 million per year. So this would be 22.5. I could see the Ravens getting that, something like that. I could see it done. But I'll be very nervous, Cordell, if it's not done by the first day of free agency.
A lot to get into as we continue to get into today's show before we go to break. And 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. Some Orioles news. Look like we got a couple of people going into the Orioles Hall of Fame. One that joined the organization not too long ago in a different role from being a player. So we'll get you that. We'll also take some of your calls and continue to look at some of these guys that may be available for the Ravens. That's next here on The Fan. Orioles named three guys going into their Hall of Fame. Longtime broadcaster Tom Davis, named the Herb Armstrong Award winner. He's going in. Adam Jones, former center fielder, and now with a role in the front office with the Orioles, he's going in as well. And also former outfielder Joe Orsolak going into the Orioles Hall of Fame. So congratulations to those three guys. The ceremony will be an on-field induction ceremony that'll be Saturday, August 9th. So kind of have to circle your calendars to remember that. Saturday, August 9th, prior to the 7:05 start against the Sacramento Athletics. So congratulations to those three guys. We've been talking about the Terps' big win on the road in Ann Arbor last night. Talk some Ravens in the last segment. We'll talk some Orioles in the next segment as well, and talk to Steve Molesky at 11 o'clock about the Birds. But right now we're talking to you. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. Let's go to Gwen Oak and get Samaj. Samaj, you're on The Fan. Samaj? No Samaj.
Samaj? Nope.
We'll try to.
I had the mute button.
Oh, we got him.
I'm sorry.
What's going on?
Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
What's going on, my brother in Bergen Gold?
What's up, man?
Cordell, I wonder if I'm going to have to check your show or call you, bro. You in that evening slot. I have a hard time getting through to have that kind of time, but I got to call you one day so we can chop it up on the Bergen Gold.
For sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach, I got a question for you, bro. I need you to help me out. Coach, I'm struggling between whether I'm feeling a little deja vu coming on or whether I'm just fantasizing. Let me just give it to you straight and pure, hot and heavy. So, Mr. Adams, the one and only Devontae, be it that he got released, my deja vu senses are that maybe this can develop into him being Anquan Boldin 2.0 for the Ravens, right on time for us to make a Super Bowl run. Question is, I know it comes down to two things.
Money.
I think a pay cut is going to be inevitable because he got released, but the other part of it is his want to.
Right.
Do you think Devontae would want to be a Raven? And if so, what do you think the pay cut would be? What would the number be you think that would get him in where we would be, as you said, and as EDC, live by and learn from Ozzy, right player, right price. Thanks for taking my call, fellas. Oh, and go Turks, damn it. Let's go.
Appreciate the call, Samaj.
I would think that it all depends on what his options are, you know, and what's the market. If there's no market, to me, that's when the Ravens would have a chance. But would he like his role with the Ravens? That's the only thing is you got to bring in, like, certain type of dude, you know, to fit in, because you've got a good locker room. You've got a good receiver room. So to bring in, we saw it with Deontay Johnson, what happened. So do you want a guy? I don't want a guy, and I don't think Eric wants a guy that wants to come in and has got to have, you know, if you don't throw it to him 10 times, he's going to be bitching and complaining because, you know, you got the tight ends. You know, you're going to run the ball. Lamar's going to run some. You got the receivers that you want to get the ball to. There's not – and just look at kind of how it played out throughout the year. Sometimes Flowers gets 10 targets. Sometimes he gets 2. Another time it might be Bateman, because during the year we talked about – oh, it's a different guy every week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can that type of guy live with that? And if you can't, then, you know, you wouldn't fit.
This may sound crazy, but is it far-fetched to think that an elite receiver can't play in Baltimore? Not because they don't throw the ball, because they clearly do. Lamar is as efficient as anybody throwing the ball. But like you said, they spread it around a lot. They ask their receivers to block a lot. There are a lot of different options. And then your quarterback may just go run, you know, mm-hmm. 10, 15 times in the game. I mean, is this a place where a guy that is used to getting all of those targets, that is used to getting all that attention, can that guy be happy in Baltimore?
Not a young one. You know, the only way a veteran can be is if he understands the rules when he comes in. Because when you look at it, Zay Flowers was a Pro Bowl receiver last year, and he's only going to get better. Bateman had his best year, and that's even going to be better. Mm-hmm. So I only have so much do-re-mi to spend. So am I going to go spend on a guy, you know, on a receiver? Does that make a lot of sense? You know, because Cordell, to me, you know, depending on what they would do in the draft, but let's just say we're doing free. If I could go get a pass rusher, I'd rather do that.
Yeah.
I'd rather get a safety. I'd rather do that. An inside linebacker, I'd rather do that. You know, I mean, receiver doesn't come in at a high priority because I feel good, you know, and I get Tylan Wallace back and Tez Walker, we got to develop. So, and I think Tez Walker's got a chance to be all right. He was so raw coming in, and he's got to make huge strides route running wise. He's got to learn how to get in and out of cuts and how to separate and do those things.
I mean, I do agree that there are other positions that should come in ahead of receiver right now in terms of the importance pecking order for the Ravens. Pass rusher being at the top for sure. And with Max Crosby going back to Vegas, that squashes those dreams. Sorry, Baltimore. But I just wonder if, like, because in the offseason now, especially for a team like the Ravens, my thinking is, all right, is this guy the difference between the Ravens losing in Buffalo in the divisional round or them going to the Super Bowl, potentially winning the Super Bowl? Devontae Adams could be that difference. He very well could be.
They didn't have Zay Flowers in that game.
No, they didn't.
And they were a minus three.
Right. I mean, that's great, but Devontae is just, he's Devontae Adams. I mean, I'm not saying that if I'm Eric DaCosta, I'm breaking the bank to go get him. That's not what I'm saying.
Where are you playing him?
I mean, I'm playing him on the field. He's somewhere. He's right out there. It's somebody else to move. I'm sorry. I would be moving other people. Bateman had a great year, but in no way am I looking at Bateman like he's ahead of Devontae Adams for me. I'm sorry. It's just not. But I do agree that Bateman's ascending. Likely's ascending. Mark is still here today. So there is that dilemma of, all right, Devontae, would you be okay with, and not just him, any of these guys that we talking about. I mean, even if they shock the world and go get DK Metcalf, even if they go get Cooper Kupp, these are guys that are used to being focal points, that are used to, you know, a certain type of volume level. So
I think Kupp is, you know, it's kind of learned to be from last year,
the last 2 years playing with
Cooper. Let me ask you this, Cordell. What did you think when you saw the Barkley deal? What was the first thing that came to your mind?
Oh, I mean, obviously Derrick Henry. Like, what is that? Because the weird thing is you can't give him more. You can't give them more than what Saquon got, but you got to get in that world. You're going to have to get. And I think that was on their docket sheet anyway. I felt like they were going to take care of him.
Eight? You know, and Barkley's now getting 20?
Yeah.
So you got to. So, and even Eric mentioned at that press conference, you know, we're not opposed to doing an extension at that time, you know, to lower cap numbers.
I mean, it'd be great if they had done it about a week or so ago. That'd been ideal, but now.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm guessing agents talk, you know, and there's a buzz.
Oh, yeah.
So they knew that there was something coming down the pike.
Right.
And they're, you know he's going to be the highest. So let's wait and let's, I snuggled up next to him, you know, in the rushing. Let me snuggle up next to him. I think he gets probably around 15.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be upset at whatever they do with Derrick Henry because you got to keep him. You got to give him a pay raise based off of what he did last year.
1,900 yards.
And I think he's going to be just as good this year.
I do too. I don't disagree with you. I think he's got at least two really good years left.
410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. We'll talk some baseball with Steve Molesky at 11 o'clock. But coming up next, we'll look at the Orioles, specifically this lineup. And Gunnar Henderson, he's out right now dealing with injury. His status for opening day is up in the air. We'll talk about whether or not we're concerned about his injuries. And should Gunnar still be the leadoff hitter in this year's lineup? We'll talk about all of that next here on The Fan. Cordell Woodland here for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw.
behind the glass. We'll talk to some Orioles baseball with Steve Molesky from BaltimoreBaseball.com at 11 o'clock. Right now, let's look at this Orioles lineup, and let's start with Gunnar Henderson. And Gunnar's right now, he's got some people worried out there because his status for opening day right now is up in the air. And look, we'll see what happens. I still subscribe to the idea that we will see Gunnar out there, but Brandon Hyde told the media yesterday that Gunnar is dealing with a very mild intercostal strain. Brandon Hyde said he is feeling better, but he's hopeful for opening day. Also, Andrew Kittredge, he got an MRI on his left knee. They'll get multiple opinions. So that's also something, right? When you start seeing multiple opinions.
Yeah,
right.
that means that you didn't like the first one.
No. So, yeah, that's probably one that I'm more so holding my breath on. But the Gunnar Henderson of it all.
Hyder sounded like Harbs, you know, because all of a sudden, you know, because you think, well, Gunnar's back any day. And then Hyder comes yesterday. Well,
change of plans.
Yes. Now, regular season? What? I mean, that, Norm, did that shock you?
A little bit. I mean, intercostal, I'd never heard that before. No, but it's
muscle between the ribs.
Your rib muscle. So I don't know. Seems like it should be just as simple as rest. No different than any other muscle strain, I would think. So I mean,
but if he's out till the start of the regular season, that's 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and like when he did it, I mean, it looked, you know, I mean, he reached up for a line drive.
Yeah.
And, you know, who would have thought that 6 weeks? But my thing is it's probably not swinging the bat because you can't. I've had cracked ribs before. You can't do a lot. So how far behind is he? All right. Now, when they say, you know, hopefully he's ready for the regular season opener, does that mean that he's had, you know, batting practice and stuff? Or that's the first day that he's healthy then?
Yeah, I would have to imagine he'll have to swing a bat before the morning of opening day.
I would hope.
To send him out there. I would think that would be the case. And look, we'll see. Gunnar is a very competitive guy. I'm sure he's doing everything he can to make it so that he is out there in Toronto for opening day. But no doubt it sucks because, look, it doesn't change the landscape of the Orioles season in my mind. But it's never a great feeling for a fan, I would imagine, to hear about the best player on the team not potentially being out there on the first day of the season.
Who lines up at shortstop if he's not there opening day?
Fair question. I mean, Ramon Arias seems like the plug and play because you wouldn't want to move Holiday back.
No,
I mean, he's all in on second base, so he's locked in there. Westberg's not as much of a shortstop as he is third and second.
Right.
And Urias can really play any spot in the infield. So I think a short term, that would be the guy. And Jorge Mateo's off the table for now. So they could get by, but I'm going to assume he's ready for opening
day. That's where I'm still leaning. I'm still leaning he'll be out there. But even once he is, and assuming that he is out there for opening day and beyond, looking at this lineup, Gunnar has been their leadoff hitter for the bulk of the last couple of seasons, which is kind of this nuanced version of the leadoff hitter these days, starting it off with power. You look at Kyle Schwarber out in Philly. It's been the same thing for him. Do you expect Nolan for Gunnar to be the leadoff hitter again this year?
I think it's an interesting debate. And really, it hinges on some of the other guys in the lineup. You know, can someone like Cedric Mullins or even Adley Rutschman, who's been batted leadoff at times during Hyde's tenure here, does another option present itself? I don't have a problem with him batting leadoff like some people do. And just looking at plate appearances, games played, you ask yourself, well, how much of a difference does it really make to have a guy bat leadoff? How many more at-bats does he really get over the span of a season? I was asking myself the same thing. In 2023, Gunnar played in 150 games. Last year, 159. So a 9-game difference. You're thinking, all right, how many more at-bats could that possibly be? 35, 40?
Mm-hmm.
Almost 100. He had 97 more plate appearances in 2024 than he did 23. That, and we talk about it, you want your best hitter to have the most at-bats in any given game. And when you put that over the span of 162, you see right there, I mean, damn near 100 at-bat difference. To me, that's substantial. So the debate is really, how much do you value that versus moving him down a couple spots
to get some RBIs?
To get more RBIs. Because last year, a great season, 37 homers, 92 RBIs. Most of that in the leadoff spot. If he was batting third, cleanup even, maybe even second at times, is he 110, 115 RBIs? Is his, you know, a 9.1 WAR season? Does that surpass 10? You know, is he beating out Witt for MVP in that case? So I think it's an interesting debate. But for now, I got no problem leaving him as is.
Where does Witt bat? Third?
No, I think he leads off.
I have no idea. Yeah, I'm
pretty sure Bobby Witt was leading off most of the time last year watching those Royal games.
And they like his speed too. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense there.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an interesting. It's kind of a what is your preference, right? And Gunnar is a guy that I like him at the leadoff because he gets the game started with a bang a lot of times. Whether it's a home run, whether it's him Dick turning a single into a double out of pure hustle, I like that energy at the top of the lineup. Sure, it'd be great to turn the clock back and have Cedric Mullins be the leadoff hitter again, and that way you could move Gunnar back a little bit to get more RBIs. But I like Gunnar there. Westberg would be another option for me, considering just how efficient he is at the plate. But I like his RBI. I like the way he's able to drive in RBIs as well. So until further notice, Adley's not there for me right now. I still want to see it. Obviously, Jackson, guys like that, Colton Kowser will be further into the middle to the back end of the lineup. I'm curious to see where Kowser slots in. And later on in the show, we'll talk about how they go about filling Anthony Santander's role as the cleanup hitter in this lineup.
Yesterday.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're going to have to figure out a lot of different things. But I think in terms of the leadoff spot with Gunnar, assuming he's going to be healthy, I think they could leave him there and the lineup would still be fine. I love the stat that you gave about all the additional plate appearances for him as well, because that's the guy that you want at the plate when it all matters.
But, I mean, for RBI's sake, you know, I mean, the first inning, yeah, you're leading off. But, you know, once you get right through the rotation, right, you
that's,
know.
That's the other part of it. I mean, everyone says, oh, I want that table setter. Well, you're only guaranteed once,
right,
one opportunity a game. You get lucky maybe twice.
Yeah.
So I don't know, this old idea of, oh, you got to have your lineup structured this way with the contact hitter with speed and leadoff, mm-hmm, and then, you know, somewhat power in 2, 3, 4. I mean, I think those days are gone.
And the reality is they don't have that guy right now. Who is that contact hitter with speed for them? I don't think they have that dude right now. They have guys that sure can hit for contact, but most of these guys are hitting for power, and none of them are, like, on base guys. None of them are hitting high for average right now. So this is kind of the spot to be able to do this with when you have a supreme star like a Gunnar Henderson.
What you'd like, you know, in that spot also is, you know, a guy when he's struggling, he can bunt to get on, you know, so you can get some bunt hits. You know, if you're having a little struggles, all right, I'll lay down a bunt, preferably a left-handed hitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of people sometimes use the 9-hole, not as like another leadoff hitter spot, but kind of for that speed, that guy that can bunt for a hit and steal a base. And Cedric, sometimes last year, the back end of the lineup is what did it for the Orioles. So, I mean, if this lineup is going to be at its best, they should have plenty of hitters to sprinkle around all through the 9 spots. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll talk some Orioles baseball with Steve Molesky, get his concern level for Gunnar Henderson and Andrew Kittredge. That's next here on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.